Are you running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies. For the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology related questions.
Give us a call, 395-1450. We'd love to hear from you here. We like to talk about computers. We like to solve computer problems. And yeah, the best way to do that is to give us a call, 395-1450. We'll take your calls here. They're open up. So yeah, give us a call or send us an email.
Yep, not an email. No. You can send us an email at computerguyswhtc.com, and we will do our best to get to that on the show. We check that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So, again, it's computerguys@whtc.com.
That's right, Kevin. In addition to that, of course, there's always the podcast and our hopefully entertaining and educational news stories of the week.
We've got... let's see. What do we have? What's
big in the news? Well, this is a good one here, Kev. This is from my Wall Street Journal news alerts. This is actually a little bit old now from last week, but Hewlett Packard's considering replacing Microsoft's Windows software on its netbooks.
That's right. I read something about that.
The Google software package.
Yes.
But we'll talk more about that in just a second here. But first of all, let's go to the phones here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the... let's try this other one here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yes, good afternoon. I have a printer that I installed on my computer and installed the drivers and so on. And every time I plug that computer or that printer into my computer, it acts like it wants to reinstall it and saying I need the drivers again and so on. And every time it installs another printer, and I'm wondering what I'm doing wrong. It's a pain in the neck.
Does it create a whole separate instance of that printer, like a copy of it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you're plugging it in, is this a desktop or a laptop?
Laptop.
Okay. Do you always plug it into the same USB port?
I think so.
Okay, because if you're not plugging it into the same port, that will often cause it to go through the installation routine again. Because the computer, basically, every USB port has a slightly different number.
Okay.
And while they say it's interchangeable, it does, you know, each one's identified by a number. And so that can sometimes force it to go into another installation. So I would definitely say...
Yeah, I know for the most part, I'm on the same one. I might have once or twice hit a different one. But
okay. The other thing to do is this the newest driver? Is it from a disk or from the manufacturer's website?
When I originally installed it, it was from the disk.
Okay.
I did not have internet connection at that time.
Okay. Do you have internet?
It wants me to reinstall the disk every time.
Okay. What I would try next do is probably uninstall it and then go. Do you have an internet connection at this time?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and then go to the manufacturer's website, and you can do a search usually on all the manufacturer's websites for that specific printer and get the absolute newest driver that they make for this printer. And that will correct usually 75% of the problems people have, including reinstallation.
Okay.
And the one important thing, too, to remember is after you uninstall your printer from the control panel there, unplug the USB cable and then restart it and then install the software, and then it'll prompt you when to plug that USB cable back in.
Yeah, but making sure you go and install the software first and then plug the cable in after the software is installed.
Okay, so don't plug the printer in before you do the installation.
Yep, that can cause problems.
Okay.
So go ahead and give that a try. If that doesn't work, let us know.
Sounds like I'm not the first one that's
happened. Not at all.
And you won't be the last one either.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, hey, thanks for your call.
Definitely an issue I've seen a lot of times before. But yep, just make sure you get that cable unplugged in between reboots. Hopefully that will help it out. Let's go ahead and take this next call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. Looking for a copy of Excel. Can I get just Excel?
You can. Are you talking about the newest version, like Excel 2007?
I don't care.
Okay.
I have somebody who needs to send me files in Excel and I don't have it on my computer at home.
Do you need to be able to work with these files or just to look at them?
Probably work with them.
Okay, the reason I ask is Microsoft does make free viewers for all their products where you can look at the files themselves while you can't manipulate them. Okay. But you can buy just the standalone Excel 2007. Now, you may pay, is this for just personal use or business use?
No, just home use.
Okay. It's actually probably going to be cheaper for you to buy the Office Home and Student 2007.
Okay.
Because the full version of Excel is about $150.
Okay.
And so the Office 2007 Home and Student, which does include Excel 2007, and that's available on up to three computers, for non-commercial use, that runs about $130 to $140.
Now, you said they had viewers. Can I, like, download that off your website?
Yep. You can download it right from Microsoft. You could basically just type in Microsoft Excel 2007 Viewer into, like, a Yahoo or a Google search, and it will take you right to the link where you can get that.
Okay. All righty. That's all I needed then.
Great.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
And people forget that often for Excel, for Word, for PowerPoint. They make free viewers out there, and they're free from Microsoft to be able to view those files.
One other option, too, is if you're just looking to view it and really not make a lot of changes, OpenOffice is a free office program that works. It's decent. Personally, I'm not a huge fan. You're not going to get... it's not going to be the exact same as Excel, but it'll be very similar.
Yeah, the key with that is if you're going to open it in OpenOffice and you're going to save it and send it somewhere, you need to make sure that you save it in a format that's going to be compatible with whoever you're sending it to. So,
good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Good afternoon. I got a laptop here with a Google desktop thing. You know, you can put temperatures and what have you in there. And I got an odd one in here, and then they said, do you want to put it on the ceiling? And I did, and I can't get that sucker off. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, first question would be, do you use the Google desktop?
No.
Now that you know of?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Well, what Google desktop does is it indexes your whole everything on your hard drive, so if you want to search quickly... it allows you to search everything that's on your computer. That's one thing. And then the other thing that a lot of people notice is on the right side of the screen there, it puts the weather or stocks or other little things.
Yeah, they call them gadgets.
Yes.
Yep.
That's where my problem is. I got a gadget on there I can't get rid of.
Usually if you right-click on the gadget itself, it'll give you an option to either close or disable it. So if you click your right mouse button right while your mouse is hovering over that gadget, you can usually close it out right from there.
Doesn't work.
It's not working. I don't have Google Desktop installed, so I can't walk you through it.
Say if you don't use it, the other option is you can just uninstall the Google Desktop.
Yeah.
Okay, but will I be uninstalling all the Google Desktops? I like some of them.
Okay, so you like some of the gadgets?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so then you probably don't want to... uninstall that, but okay. Do you have what's the gadget that that's in your way?
It's got some couple stocks. It's got San Francisco's temperature up here.
If you hold your mouse over it, does it pop up any buttons to manipulate it?
It pops up a page and it says personalized appearance and sounds, and then it's got window color and appearance, desktop background, screensaver, sounds. Mouse pointer, theme, display settings, and then...
Have you tried restarting the computer? That's one other option, too. Turn the computer off and then back on again?
It's been on for 2 weeks.
Shut it down at night?
Over a month already.
Okay. Unfortunately, I'm not familiar enough with Google Desktop. I've had it installed a couple times, but I've always removed it. So, unfortunately, Kev, unless you've got an answer here, I would say we'd probably want to take a look at it. Offhand, I don't know.
If you, let's see, on the left side, there's a plus button on the top of the sidebar. Do you see that one? That's how you add gadgets.
Okay, but it stuck that plus button on the ceiling.
Yeah, because you probably accidentally moved the bar.
Okay, it says view, sort by, refresh, paste, paste shortcut, undo, delete, graphic properties, graphic options, new, personalize.
Under personalize.
I would try.
There's an option to remove gadgets. If you hold your mouse cursor over the gadget you want to remove, it will pop up a little X in the upper right-hand corner, and you can just click that X, and it should go away.
I know. I've had that with other desktop gadgets, but this one doesn't work.
Okay. For some reason, it's not. Well, it sounds like you're going through all the right instructions. It's probably something you just have to look at. If that's something you wanted to bring in, I'm sure we can get you taken care of.
Okay.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah, sometimes it's difficult without seeing it.
And that varies depending on the version of Google Desktop you have. If you've got an older version, there's a little add remove panels functionality. So it really is just something you got to see. Google Desktop, similar to basically the gadgets bar inside of Vista.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Hi there. Speaking of Google Desktop, I have a laptop I got that it's a 64-bit instead of a 32-bit.
Sure.
And I used to have Google Desktop and everything, indexed all the files and everything, but now they don't offer that on the 64-bit version. I believe they only offer it in 32-bit.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other indexing or search things that you can add to your computer that I just am dying without it, because that's how I search for files, and it would, I could do a quick search and find an email based on somebody's name or anything else like that. And I'm wondering, is there a way? I know there's a way to force 32-bit on the 64.
Yep.
But it's not worked for me.
You've tried that already?
I've tried. I'm not totally computer illiterate, but that's just, I don't know. That one might be above my pay grade.
Sure. Have you tried the built-in Vista search?
No.
Okay. Well, right in Windows Vista, when you click on the Windows button in the lower left-hand corner, right above there, honestly, most people overlook it. There's a little text box there. That's the built-in Vista search, and it indexes most of the most popular places on your computer automatically for you.
So that's like in the start area?
Yeah, right where it says start. If you click on your start button, it'll be, and it lists your programs listing there. Way at the bottom, it'll say start search.
Okay.
And if you basically key in there, that searches, your photos, your documents. If you use Outlook or Windows Mail, it searches that as well.
Okay.
And it actually works really well. It's built right into the operating system.
Okay. I will maybe give that a chance then, because it's just, that's when you're used to that search tool, that's your remember button.
Exactly.
Well, yes. One other option, too, is if you do a Windows update now, they have the built-in Windows search. I think it's a Live Search 4.0, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's another option for you as well.
Would I find that under do a Windows update, and it's automatically?
Yeah, it'll opt for Windows search, or just do an actual search, like a Google search or a Yahoo search, and just type in Windows search. Okay. And that takes you to the place where you can actually download that.
Huh, okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
It under the Vista update in the control panel there, it's listed as one of those additional downloads.
Mm-hmm. Yep, not by default. It doesn't come in. It's an optional.
Hey, do that on your computer once, Kev. Go to the Vista
updates
and just see what the name of it is. It's Windows Search 4.0, something like that.
Okay,
I haven't installed it.
Let's look for the available updates here.
Take a look. And when it pops up, it takes a minute to check your computer for the updates. If you're listening, though, and have any questions for the computer guys here, give us a call, 395-1450. And back to the HP here, though, Kev. HP is considering replacing Microsoft Windows operating system with the software developed by Google and some really small computers called netbooks.
Yeah, that's the Android, if they're going to make the actual Android operating system.
They currently have programmers testing Google's Android system, which was originally designed for cell phones.
Yep.
However, they have not yet decided whether to actually bring an Android netbook to market.
Yep, that would be interesting to see that. I heard some speculation on that. So it should prove to be interesting. But, hey, with all this search talk, it's interesting because this is something I've been noticing is people just aren't, you know, when they get used to that search file, they don't organize their files anymore. You used to have directories, and then inside of those, you'd have all these subfolders, which would contain certain information. So when you wanted to, you could go find what you were looking for. Now, with this search utility, you don't really need to know where it is because it'll find it for you. And it, since it's all indexed, it already knows where it is. You just need to know the right search term to get it. So if it's an essay you wrote on dogs, you start typing in dogs, and whoosh, there it goes. It pops right up for you. So it is an interesting thing to start seeing that everybody's files now are just in one giant folder, and the way they find them is just by using one of those search utilities. So,
find what that little utility's called?
It's just called Windows Search 4.0.
Okay.
So, and that's
available. I think it adds a little search box in your toolbar in the bottom of the computer.
It probably does. I think you can even... I'm trying to see if there's something by default on there. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
It's an optional one.
Yep. And there's a bunch of these search products up there. There's another one that I came across the other day that... actually, somebody really, really liked, and it had some great features built in, and I'm blanking on what it's called. So,
speaking of netbooks here, Kev, you know I'm not a fan of them, but a lot of people are. Microsoft now boasts 96% netbook penetration.
Wow.
Citing figures from a market research firm, NPD, Microsoft says Windows shares of the U.S. netbook market has ballooned from less than 10% in the first half of 2008 to 96% as of February.
Now, the funny thing is, that's all XP.
XP Home Edition.
Which is hilarious.
Yep.
That the market share that they're talking about isn't even the new operating system. So maybe they'll come out with a Windows 7 Netbook Edition. Maybe. Who knows? We'll see. Could be funny.
Also, Microsoft said that the reason that Windows 7 is going to be so much faster is because of netbooks. That's the main driving reason.
So they're actually using, so it will run on a netbook.
And using that as
sort of the hardware requirements.
That's sort of the hope.
Yep. And netbooks, you know, if you haven't heard the term, they're basically these really compact laptops. But they're so small, they kind of created their own category. Not a full-size keyboard. The screen sizes are usually somewhere around 9 to 12 inches, somewhere in between there. And they're tiny. I mean, they really are. And they've got a variety of different hard drives, and some of them are Linux-based, some are Windows-based, and potentially someday maybe Google-based. You know, they're really used for basic tasks, anything internet-related, have Wi-Fi connectivity. Some of them have decent batteries, other ones not so good. But this whole new class of notebooks that's just gotten so popular. And they're cheap. That's the thing, is you can get into one of those for $200 for a very, very basic entry-level one, which makes them popular.
I personally don't like them. I think they're too small.
You would say that.
I'm 6'7".
You got to get used to it.
I've got big hands.
You know, at that size, 6'7", you might be able to fit it in your pocket. You know, because your pockets are probably a little bit bigger than average. Yeah. So, little pocket PC there.
Kev, angry villagers have run a Google Street View car out of town.
I know. I loved that story. That was great.
A Google Street View car has been chased out of Buckinghamshire Village by angry residents. Basically, here, Paul Jacobs is a local resident, and he saw the car coming into his little neighborhood here. So he warned the car not to enter the village, then roused his neighbors who surrounded the vehicle until the driver performed a U-turn and left.
It's great.
Claims residents were worried that the photographs were an invasion of their privacy and would attract burglars.
That's funny.
Those cars are easy to spot, though. They've got this funny little looking antenna thing with a giant camera, or not giant, but a big camera mounted at the top.
Yeah, not real discreet. You could definitely know that it's... not your average car driving around.
Now, the only thing is a little silly is the guy says his immediate reaction was anger. How dare anyone take a photograph of my home without my consent?
Exactly.
Now, if this was a public street, I'd say plant tall bushes. If
you there don't you want go.
Somebody to take pictures of your house. But hey, you know, if it was a private subdivision or community,
you know, it's one thing if it's going to appear in a local newspaper, but when it's going to be posted in the Googleverse...
I think your house is on Google Street View.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
I better check that out.
Go right there.
I'm going to ask them to remove it. Oh, yeah.
I don't think they will.
But it's before we got new siding, I think. So
Have you already looked?
I think I have looked at it before.
Okay. Well, if you go to google.com, just for any of our listeners
out
there.
Give out my home street address, Dave.
I'm not going to. They could find it anyway if they wanted. There's that information's public, you know. But if you go there and you go to the Google Maps and you type in Holland, Michigan, it takes you there. You've got to zoom in a little bit. But yeah, there's the little man in the upper left-hand corner of the map. He's the little Google Street View thing here. So
let's see.
If you're on a slow computer like they have here at WHTC, then it's not the most pleasant
browsing.
Oh, no,
it is an updated photo.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Am I in it? No, I'm not in it. There's a light on, though. So somebody was home, maybe.
Hmm.
It's not super clear. Looks like it was a pretty nice day whenever they shot this.
Yeah, that's good.
They don't date that, do they?
No, they don't. You could probably figure it out somehow.
So it was in the morning. I can see that. Still morning sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Sun's coming up there.
Yeah, it's probably about, based on the sun, looks like it might be about 10, 10:30.
It's fall, though. The leaves are changing colors.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. You see that?
Yeah. Maybe early fall.
So, anyway. Kev,
fun to check out.
You didn't see their car. You weren't unable to run them out of town.
I was not watching because I was probably at work.
If you're listening.
I would have run them out of town.
If you're listening here, give us a call, 395-1450. The computer guy's here at WHTC. Kev, do you know what President Obama gave Queen Elizabeth?
Let's see. Hopefully it was better than the pack of DVDs.
That was the prime minister.
I know.
Hopefully he upgraded.
I'm gonna go with an iPod.
Yeah. Obama gave the Queen an iPod. And the funny thing is it had some songs and a variety of songs that she would probably appreciate.
Sure. Yep.
As well as pictures from when she came to the United States in 1957 and 2007, as well as some of his speeches.
Wow, that's kind of cool. I wonder if she liked it.
Well, it said that it was updating. She already had an iPod from before, but it was an older one. So they wanted to give her the new one.
Give her something new.
Yep. Photos, some videos on there. Yep, and that was a gift. And the reason I bring this up is it's computer related. It's an iPod.
Sure.
But that is pretty funny. Obama gave the DVD box set of movies the last gift. We're moving into the world of technology here, even with international relations.
Yep.
Got a caller here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
I was just wondering, what kind of technology for that Street View do they use to do that?
Well, I don't know exactly the technology, but the camera actually, there's not just one little camera, actually has multiple.
It's a 360-degree camera. So basically, they've probably got, small computer inside, and it's just constantly, at what interval, I don't know, but they're basically just shooting pictures as the car drives. And it usually drives pretty low speed because the images are fairly clear.
As you're saying, as a car drives down the road, they go around with a 360 camera taking pictures.
It's automatically doing it.
Yeah, it's built right into the roof of the car.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically a stand, and then there's lenses all the way around. And it, as they are driving, it's shooting photos.
Well, they must somehow incorporate that with a satellite picture that's taken at a particular moment in time. Because if you, on that Street View, do the feature where it allows you to start progressing down the street in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
You can start going down the street for quite a long ways. Heck, we did it one day and we went down the street for several miles, I think. But you can actually pass cars and all kinds of things. Now, there's no way that the car that actually was taking those pictures did all that. And so they have to have a captured moment in time from a satellite that they overlay with a surroundings type picture that comes off from a car that drives around doing that.
Well, they actually are able to blend all the photos together. So as the car, with the Google Street View, they actually don't use any satellites to take those photos. Mm-hmm. They just blend those photos together as they, it's just the same thing with real estate. Now, if you go look up a lot of real estate companies have these 360-degree views in a house, and they just they take the multiple pictures, and the software is able to blend those together, so it looks like it's kind of a seamless picture.
Yeah, just the camera they use, it's an 11-lens, softball-size, video game-style gadget, and it's a $45,000 device where basically it goes through, and that it those lenses overlap just enough, and then they do soften the edges to create a seamless image.
Right.
Now, where they do maybe tie in with the satellite is that they know their position when those photos were shot. Mm-hmm. So when they load it into the application, it corresponds with that street-style overlay or the satellite imagery.
Right.
So, yeah, they have to be marking that location as far so everything can kind of correspond. But it's really, technologically, it's fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean,
go in there and play with that once and then try to think about how they did that because, I mean, you can't be, if there's cars 2 miles ahead of you, how did he catch all them cars and pass them? I mean, to get those pictures, to know where those cars were taken at that moment. And I mean, just think about where everybody within a whole city radius is frozen in time at that moment. But yeah, you can drive around on Street View and drive right past everything and everybody's car and everything else.
But you will
else.
See that the cars do move. So, for instance, a lot of times a little Google Street car will be on one street and then you move it down and he's actually driving next to the same car the whole way.
I actually passed cars in the passing lane, went around them.
Must have gotten
on Street View. Like,
maybe that Google driver was speeding a little bit.
No, I had cars coming at me. That we passed. I passed cars that we overtook vehicles, where you can overtake them and pass them. And I'm just saying, if you think about how that thing is done, it's like, how do they match all that up into making a thing that you can do that like that?
All for free on the web with a high-speed connection.
Yeah, they got to be using some sort of satellite picture that's taken at a certain moment in time and then corresponding to pictures that are taken from a ground level. They got to be blending them together somehow.
Well, thanks again for the call.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. Like I said, live.com is a cool one of Holland, some really high-res photos that you can do with kind of a bird's eye view at an angle. That's a pretty cool one, too. But
yeah.
All this requires a pretty fast connection. If you're doing this on dial-up, you will be
it's gonna wreck
very
it
disappointed.
For you. It is a little disappointing to do that. So,
Kev, one last little quick story. We've got just a few seconds here. There's news that the United States electricity grid has been penetrated by spies. And not only that, they put on little software programs so that they could possibly take control in the future.
See, that's not what you want to hear. So
more of that
anyway,
next week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. If you weren't able to tune in today, you can always check out the podcast. Easiest way to do that, WHTC into the Apple iTunes Music Store. And you can download this show, old shows, anything you want. Also, if we weren't able to take your call today, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right. Well, thanks again, and we'll be back next Wednesday, 12:30 to 1, with the Computer Guys here on WHTC.